B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
But to go back to that Boston series, you know which game to me was the turning point?
Which one?
Game 5.
Really?
And nobody really talks about Game 5, but Game 5 was back in their building. And you know, a lot of the times when you play a Game 5 and the home team is up 3-1, that's where they want to end it. Because they don't want to go get back on a plane, go back to the visitors' building for another game. They want to end it there. And to me, that was the key. If we could win Game 5 in their building, we knew that we were not going to get beaten at home in Game 6. And then you're going back there in Game 7, and all the pressure all of a sudden is on them to not choke. So that's why. And we ended up winning Game 5, I think 5-1. It was such a decisive game.
4-0. There it is.
4-0.
Okay. Shutout. Wow.
Yeah. To me, that's the game that nobody talks about, but that probably was the most important game of the series. And, you know, building that swagger like we just talked about, and putting doubts in the Bruins' mind.
I can't get enough of that team and that whole series. And what was the coach like? What was Peter like? And that, because we all know about that timeout. What was he like through that whole run?
I think Peter also had that swagger, you know. And one of his strengths, one of Peter Laviolette's strengths, if people don't know, is how he motivates his team. He finds ways, you know, to motivate his team like no one else. The speeches, the way he talks, he wears his emotions on his sleeve. So when you're able to build that swagger and that confidence and then the coach comes in on top of it, you know, he was just feeding into it just as much as we were, you know, and it was pretty cool to go through that with him.
Yeah. I would think, you know, and you think about what you guys had overcome. I mean, and I love, like, Boosh is my main man. And he was terrific, you know, during the run.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a tough spot, man, between him and Leighton. You know, it was the end of Boosh's career. Leighton was a journeyman. And so it wasn't like you had, you know, Tuukka in goal, right? Like, that was a big deal.
No, it was. You know, but he had an knack for pressing the right buttons, too. Peter found a way to, you know, get those guys going because they both played a lot of games. It's not like Boosh didn't play at all. He was there. He was critical in some of the games during that series. He got hurt, unfortunately, against Boston. But you know, early on in the playoffs, Boosh was big for us. So both guys played well. You know, and I mean, I still looking back. I mean, it was a great playoff run. It could have gone our way another lucky bounce at the end, but you know, we can't complain too much about that because we also got a lot of lucky bounce to get us there, you know, starting with the last regular season game against the Rangers just to get us into the playoffs.
Yeah, because we were not a good shootout team back then that season. And it was irony that you guys get in on that shootout.
Yeah, and against probably, in my mind, the best shootout goalie in the NHL. Lundqvist was, to me, the toughest shootout goalie that I faced over the course of my career. And having to face him that game to clinch was pretty ironic. That's how we beat them. And I remember that game. I felt like the Rangers were just holding on. They just wanted to take this game to overtime and to a shootout because they knew they had the best goalie in the shootout, and they knew our record. So they thought they were going to be fine taking this game to a shootout. And unfortunately, or fortunately for us,
yeah. Oh, my God, that was outrageous. I'll tell you, Danny, that was so much fun, man, just to kind of talk about it. We got Peter coming up next, so he's going to come on after you to talk about it. So I'll make sure to give him the You still text with him at all? You ever talk to him at all?
Yeah, we still talk here and there. You know, I when I look back at the coaches that I've had over the course of my career, Peter is probably the one that him and Lindy Ruff that did the most for me. I have a lot of respect for them. You know, Peter was simply amazing. I love him, and awesome. I hope he gets back in the league soon.
Yeah, he deserves it, man. He's a great coach, man. I'm with you. Oh, Danny, what a pleasure, brother. Thank you so much. Listen, God bless your family and you, and you know, stay safe during this time, okay, brother?
Awesome. Thanks. Same to you, and thank you for being there for all of us staying home.
Ah, I love you, buddy. You know that. And hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about Flyers hockey soon. So be safe,
sounds
buddy.
Good.
Take care, brother.
You too.
There bye-bye. He is, the great Danny Briere on the Comcast Business Hotline. It's 1 o'clock, and you're listening to 97.5, the Fanatic WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We're a Beasley Media Group station. I got to tell you, I am so thrilled. And thanks to Danny Briere. Danny's one of the great guys, man. He really is. I am so thrilled to talk to our next guest. We loved him in Philadelphia. There was nobody that embodied, I think, the city like this guy did. This guy had it all. He was the greatest, and we loved him. The great Peter LaViolette joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Peter, how you doing, man?
Anthony, how are you, buddy? You staying safe?
Yeah, yeah. How are you? Where are you at right now?
So I'm in Tennessee still. It's my daughter. She's a senior at Brentwood High School. My two boys are off to college, and my daughter's a senior at Brentwood High. So we're here. We were here through graduation. As you know, like, everything's kind of crazy. Both my boys' NCAA hockey had gotten canceled.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Her softball season got canceled. It was like the only saving grace of being fired was that, you know, I was actually going to get to be a dad for a little bit, and I could go see my boys play playoff hockey and follow my daughter around in the spring and watch her play softball before she heads off to Boston College. And everything got canceled. So,
are the kids with you?
We're here for now.
Are the kids, the boys with you too?
So that you know, when we are done here, our residence is in Florida, and so the boys have headed to Florida. One of them goes to Florida. He plays for Florida Gulf Coast University, which is D2 club hockey, and they got a really good program. They were national champs as freshman year, national champs as sophomore year.
Wow.
And they made it back to Dallas to try and get a third one, and it got canceled. And the other one plays up at Plymouth State in New Hampshire.
Wow.
And so they had just won the MASTCAC conference, and they were waiting to go play in the NCAAs, and that got canceled as well. So they both headed to Florida, and we'll head there shortly too. We've got Kristen's parents at my house here, and they're we're taking care of them right now, and my daughter's going to see what's up with her the rest of her year, and then we'll figure it out. I mean, everybody's in the same place. This is just kind of crazy that you know, we've never, obviously nobody's ever experienced anything like this at all in the past, and we're going day by day just like everybody else.
Yeah God bless them. And Marco sends his love to you, because you know how much he loved you. The whole town, you had a special bond, Pete. I mean, everybody loved you, man, in this town. You felt that. I mean, listen, you've had great successes everywhere you've gone, but does Philadelphia have a little bit of a special place in your heart?
It does, because I'll tell you, when I started coaching, I coached the Islanders, and I was there for a couple years, and that was really my introduction to the NHL, and I went and coached Carolina, and we had some success there. And then after I got relieved there, I said to my wife, I said, I really would love the opportunity to go to a big city and to coach a team that's got some history and some guts to it. And there's a few in the league that are like that. Like, you know, I'm from Massachusetts,
yeah.
and maybe that's the connection. Like, I'm just a blue collar family and blue collar kid from Massachusetts, and I loved the idea of going to Philadelphia, which is exactly that, where you know, you say what's on your mind and you fight for everything in life. And it just seemed like just a fit that I wanted in the worst way. And to be able to go there and not get all the way, but to get and play for a cup with a group of guys was pretty special. And I loved working for Ed Schneider and Paul Holmgren. The players there at the time, they were fantastic. They were competitors, and they knew how to win. And I feel really fortunate and blessed about my time in Philadelphia, because I just absolutely loved it.
That's awesome. And it's great because people feel that way about you. And it's funny, we just had Danny Briere on, and Danny was talking how much he loved you and how much the guys loved you. And there was that special bond that you built during one of the great runs. So to keep people sane without sports, we've been playing back a different game every day, and today we did Game 7 of the Boston series. So I got to ask you to relive that whole run. It starts with the Rangers on that Sunday, the end of season, and the shootout against Lundqvist.
The whole thing was incredible. From I joke around. I like to make fun of myself more than anything. I said when I took them over, when I took the Flyers over, we were in 22nd place in the National Hockey League, and with all my talent and expertise, I quickly drove them to 30th. So by Christmas, we were dead last, and to get to that point of the shootout, it was a lot, and we had to. I feel like we just carried a lot. Like, we could win because of where we were at. We could win three in a row, but when you lost the fourth one, it was almost like you didn't just take a step back, like mentally and then the standings and physically and in your mind as you're trying to climb out of this. It felt like you might have taken two or three steps back just from one loss. And there's always games that you play well and you don't win, and you're dealing with those. There's players, there's games where you don't play well and you don't win, and those ones hurt even more. And so as we're grinding through the season, it ended up coming down to that last game. And the way it turned out is that the Rangers were in the same exact boat that we were in. If they won, then they were going. And if we ended up winning, we would go. And the game was a heck of a hockey game, and I just remember the tension, but like the anxiety with everybody, the fans and the players and in the building, and you could feel it. And especially when the shootout took place, and then even post shootout, the joy that we had and the exhilaration of winning that shootout, and what it must have felt on the other side to not win it. Because that was it. I mean, now, at that point, it was just to make the playoffs. It wasn't about winning a Stanley Cup. It was just to get in and just to find success. And
they got Lundqvist, right? They're thinking,
Lundqvist, and he was fantastic. I remember through that whole run, we were losing goalies left and right with injury, and calling guys up from out of college to back up and off the waiver wire and just doing different things just to try and our goaltenders played really well. Brian Boucher played really well when called upon in that playoffs, and Michael Layton came out of nowhere and he played really well, and those guys gave us an opportunity to continue to push forward and get to the finals. But I do remember when that game was over, because we had a good hockey team, a really good players in there. Like I said, guys that knew how to win, Pronger and Chemo, and you even see Richards and Carter going on. They were younger at that point, but they go on and win championships. And so you know that there's guys that know how to win in there. And once we got, it felt like once we got that win and we qualified for the playoffs, it was like the sky was the limit. You know, really, it was like you can go and do anything now. We had to go in and face a top-ranked New Jersey team.
Yeah.
And we ended up pushing through that first round, but it was just, that one. There's things that you'll always remember as a player or a coach, through the course of your lifetime, because they just stand out more. That shootout game for me was one of them. That series was one of them. The game 7 that you want to talk about is one of them. There's like three or four things inside of this playoff round that I'll be like, we were able to win a cup, or you won a bronze medal, or this team over here for the Deutschland. There's just things that happen there's like three or four inside of this playoff run that were pretty special.
Amazing. We're talking to the great Peter Laviolette on the Comcast Business Hotline. And let's start with the series that leads up to Game 7. And, I mean, two heartbreakers up in Boston, the game one in overtime, and then you lose another one-goal game in Game 2, 3-2. So it was a tough, because you played well and could have won both games.
Yeah, no, it was they were good, and we were saying that. I think it's one thing, you know, when you fall behind in a series, or even fall behind in a game. I think it's one thing when you feel like you've been beat up a little bit, and you're losing games, and it's a harder message to sell, and maybe even from a believability standpoint of the players to feel like you can come back from losing the first game or come back from 0-2, you know, going on the road and losing those games. Maybe there's more believability because of the way you played, and we certainly tried to pound that home and with the players and the guys, and I think that they realized that too. I think that they knew that there was a confidence inside the run, and the score, we knew we were playing a good team, and the score hadn't gone our way, and we just had to keep working at it. And, you know, we had a couple of big players that were dealing with some pretty big injuries with broken feet. I think Gagne had one, and Carter had one, and those guys were battling through it out there with, you know, on most circumstances, neither one of them would have been playing, and they pushed through, and they were big players for us through that run.
What, so, game three, they win home. What are you telling the guys going into game four?
It's probably the same thing. Like, you know, inside of a playoff, like the whole four rounds of a playoff series, you know, you could write a book. And then inside of a series, you know, you could write a couple chapters. And inside of a game, you could fill up 20 pages. At that point, you're almost just reading the words, just word by word. Just, you know what I mean? You can't think about anything that you've already read. You can't think about things that are might happen or are going to happen at that point. You just need to really simplify it and slow it down. I remember we talked about it, and the one question that was posed inside the room was, on this day, are we good enough to beat the Boston Bruins in one game? And if you just think about it that simple and just give an answer, yes or no, do you feel based on the first three games and the talent in the room and the people in the room and the great hockey players and the great leaders that we had inside of that room, answer that one question, are we good enough to win one game against the Boston Bruins today? And the answer was a resounding yes, and they knew that too. And I think once you do that, now you can start to build a little believability in what it is that you're trying to do, which is to dig out of an enormous hole.
Wow, you got me now, man. It's 10 years later. Yes, we can beat the Bruins. Yes, yes. Oh, my God. All right, so then you do beat the Bruins. It's game four. It's overtime. And another classic game you win. And Danny said you guys started to feel something after that game.
I do think that when you answer yes to that question and then you back it up with the actions on the ice, you put yourself in a position where that can breed confidence inside of your room. And like I said, I don't think that was that much of a big, huge sales pitch either. Like, I think that Chris Pronger already knows how to win. In fact, I know he does. I think Kimo already knows how to win. And like I said, Richards and Carter, they were a little bit younger, but these guys are players and they knew how to win. And Claude Giroux was now developing into a player, and JVR and Simone Gagne was somebody that we were counting on. Lappy, and there are so many guys in there. Blair Betts and the goaltenders played great. So there was Matty Carl and Colburn. Remember, our four defensemen were so good. The top four were so good, and they carried us that year. They hardly missed any games. They played in almost every game, and they were the backbone of the defense for us that carried us. And I think once you get that win, it just adds to the confidence level inside of the room. You go into the game, in the next game, game five, and you ask the same question, are we good enough to do this? The answer is yes again, and you've just done it. And so you just continue to go slow, just reading the words off the page, and just one by one, you try to get the wins and keep on pushing forward.
So you push forward, and in game five, you go up to Boston, and it's a domination. You win 4-0 in that game five.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I mean, certainly that's the plan. when you go in there, it'd be great to go up 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, heck, throwing an empty net goal if you could find out. It would be great if that's, but, and that's always kind of the plan, but again, you got to go out and you have to execute inside of that, which, again, Boston too, you know, I talked about it before, just kind of blue collar fans and passionate fans and like people who love their sports towns. Almost in a different way. They're extremely passionate about, you can name any sport in Philly and you're going to get fans that are just, they just love this team and they want them at Boston's the same way.
Yeah. We're like cousins.
So it's, going in there is not an easy thing to do. To walk out with a win the way that we did that day was pretty awesome. And again, I think it just goes back to, okay, now we're going back to arguing. We just got to win. We got to win in our building. We've done it so many times, and the confidence again of winning a second game.
Yeah, you're not. There's no way you're losing game six at home. There's going to be a game seven, and of course, it's a great game. You guys win 2-1, and that sets the stage for that Friday night up in Boston.
Yeah,
what's it like pregame and, you know, the morning of that game seven?
You know, I think that there's always an intensity that goes with game seven. I don't want to say pressure, but like you know you're in game seven. It's just got a different feel to it. It's got a special feel to it, to be honest with you. And anytime you're able to be a part of a game seven, it's just a blessing for sports, for the fans, for the players, for the coaches. It's just, game sevens are special. And, you know, up until that point, it was almost like we were just, you know, there were no expectations of us from the outside. But now you get into that game seven and you fought back. And now, you know, you're back to the pressure and the expectations of closing out a series that you've now made 3-3. And like I said, it had been a tough building. Boston's a really loud building with passionate fans. And, you know, so we were going into that game and our guys were excited to play it. We had worked hard to get to that point. And, like I said, the players had played, they fought so hard, even in the games we lost.
They fought
so hard and they competed so hard. We didn't get the results, but yet they stayed with it, which speaks to the character that was in the room, and they just kept fighting for it.
There's no need, right, for some impassioned speech prior to a game seven like that. I mean, everybody knows what's at stake. These are men. Right.
Not really. I think that guys know what's at stake. It's not like he went in with some glorious story about something. The guys had fought to get to that point, and I think you're always trying to sell something. You're always trying to push something inside the room. You're always trying to get them on the edge of their chair a little bit or put the hair up on the back of their neck. But these guys knew exactly where they were, and they knew exactly what was at stake, and they knew exactly what they had to do.
And then, you know, the game gets played.
Yeah, it started perfectly.
Yeah.
it just started perfectly. I remember looking at Milan Lucic running around out there in the first 10 minutes. I mean, he was just a beast.
Yeah.
I mean,
from
a physical standpoint, he dropped his shoulder, and I think it might have been the third goal that he took. I think it was his second one in the first 10 minutes. And he dropped his shoulder on the coming down the wing and took it to the net. And I thought that the Boston building could have blown the roof right off at that point. They had that "Live It Up in Boston" or whatever that song is that they pound out of there.
Yes.
It's cranking and the fans are cranking, and it was just crazy. It was not the way we wanted to start. You're down 3-0 in game seven, 10 minutes into the game, so it was a really, really tough start for us.
And then the timeout that will be it's the legendary timeout in the history of Philadelphia. I mean, we still play sounds from you. You know, to this day, we still talk about it. It's the greatest timeout ever. Take us through it.
So I remember really early in my coaching career. It might have been minor leagues. It might have been in Providence or in Wheeling, or could have been my first years in the island. I can't remember an exact date or whatever. But there was one or two times early on where, you know, you're behind the bench and you're making these decisions, and it could be early in the game, and you're trying to figure out whether or not to use a timeout. And you only get the one. You don't know if you'll need it later in the game. You don't know what good it will do. You don't know if the game has been played as poorly or at the very beginning where you need the timeout, or whether or not the score is so out of hand that you need it. And I remember there was a couple times where in my head and in my gut, I was saying to myself, call the timeout, use a timeout. And I didn't do it. And it backfired. And you know, we might have been down 3-0, and they scored 4 minutes later and made it 4-0. And at that point, I said, no matter what, for the rest of my life, for the rest of my career in coaching, whenever my gut in my head is telling me to take the timeout and call a timeout, I'm going to take it, and I'm going to call it, and I'm going to use it. So it's not pertaining just to this scenario that you're talking about, but it was just in general.
Wow.
You know, you got one chance to just go with your instincts and make the call, right or wrong. And I don't ever want to be in a position where I said, I should have used that timeout. I wanted to do it and I didn't do it. And so that's just something that had been going on for 10 or 12 years. And I've used a lot of timeouts, especially not so much when we were losing our timeouts because of the challengers here in recent years. But prior to that, I would do it at any point in the first period or second period or third period if I thought that the game was slipping away from us and it needed to break. And really all the timeout does is give you a chance to stop the game when it shouldn't be stopped, and to take a minute and to possibly throw, you know, have them unset if they were moving in the right direction, and possibly a chance for your team to reset if you weren't moving in the right direction. And so in that timeout, it was just a matter of just trying to, I don't know, to take the build, to slow the building down for a second, or slow the Bruins down for a second, or to bring our guys in, corral them, sell them one thing, give them a message, trying to give them something, you know, you try to give something inside of a timeout that they can look at and say, okay, we can try to move in this direction.
That's awesome. How did the, what do the words just come to you? Like when you're there, you know, you're in the middle of it, and you know, here you are. All right, let's settle it down and reset it. You know, with the message, do the words just come pouring out of you?
Yeah, I mean, typically when I'm between the periods or a pregame speech or a timeout or whatever it is, nothing's ever written down or about anything. I don't like writing things down. I would rather it come from whatever I'm thinking and send it that way. But at that point during the timeout, I just knew that it was really important that we try to hang on to something. And if you could make that something come true, not me, but the players, players could make that something come true, then you could take the next step and you could say, yeah, or we did that. So to me, it was just about the one goal at that point, right? Go back to the words of the book, right? You're not trying to read who wins the Stanley Cup. You're just trying to figure out where your next stride is going to be on the ice.
Right.
And so you had to slow it down again. And it wasn't about winning game seven. It wasn't about winning the second period. It was just about scoring one goal. And if you could score one goal, and if we could take it in 3-1, then you could fight in the second period. And then you know, in the second period, we go in there and say, listen, if you win the second period, forget about the score, forget about the 3-1, forget about the third. If you just win the second period, 1-0, 2-0, 2-1, 3-0, whatever, just win the second period. If you win the second period, you can win the game. And so the guys played, I thought that the guys played incredible in the second period. You know, you had Danny Briere on here.
Yeah.
Prior to me, I thought that Danny Briere, Hartnell, and Lano was probably one of the most, especially as the series went on, especially when we were in that Chicago series. Those guys, Danny Briere scored more playoff points than
he scored as many as
anybody. I don't think he's first, but man, is he good.
Yeah.
And Billy Lano caught fire on that line with Scott Hartnell, and they were one of the most dominant lines that I've ever coached for a short period of time. They were fantastic. And so those guys were playing really well, and Danny was awesome in the playoffs. And just to credit those guys, I thought the second period, you know, we did make it 3-1. We went in, we reset, they went back out for the second period. And that's when I really thought we started to play the game.
And then when they tied it, you could see that they were nervous, that they were playing tight. And Danny ties the game, the man that you spoke of, all those big goals.
Yeah. Yeah.
He ties the game at 3.
Yeah, I mean, think about his career, right, and what he was able to do. But then you think about the points that he collected when the game matters the most, which is the playoffs. And you think about his playoff career, it's truly a special thing that he was able to do. And that goal was no different. But you know, we were able to tie it up, and we set it into the third, and that's it. We had gotten to a point where, okay, if you win the third, you win the game. And so I think that there was a lot of confidence from the comeback of, you know, from the comeback of the regular season to having to do what we did in that shootout win, to having to fight back from down 3-0 in the series. There was a lot of confidence to fight back from 3-0 in that game 7.
Ah, just amazing. Amazing. Herb Brooks has nothing on you, my friend. Let me tell you. I still have chills. You are the greatest. I got to ask you one quick thing, and we so appreciate this. What do you think of the Flyers right now and where they're headed? They got really hot. I don't know how much you're closer you're paying attention, but they started to play some really good hockey up until when the season was suspended.
Yeah, they sure have, and I don't get to see a lot of them. You know, that's the one thing about the way that the conferences are set up now. You really get to see one home game and one road game against the Flyers. And when you're working, you're in dialing in against your opponent that you're playing next. And usually that's Western Conference teams, and only seeing the Flyers twice. But they certainly are winning games. I still think that they got tremendous players there and tremendous personnel. And I think that AV's come in and done a really good job. I got to work, and I know AV just a little bit from working an all-star game with him, but I think he's a terrific coach, and anytime you ever coach against another coach and you see what they're capable of doing, you can gain a lot of respect for him, and I certainly have that for him. So I think they're in a real good spot, and they were moving in the right direction. Where it all goes from here, man, who knows? And to be honest, who knows how you come out of this?
I know.
You know, you're going to have teams that were on point marching to the playoffs. And I'm going to guarantee you that some of those teams are not going to turn the way they want to turn. And that's just, it's kind of like the timeout. You know, we're in timeout right now.
Brilliant. That is absolutely brilliant. Peter, we love you, man. You are awesome. God bless you, your family, during this whole thing, and we just appreciate you coming on, and the city loves you. Just so you know that you have a special place in the city's heart.
Well, it's right back at you. I mean, I love my time there. I love the fans of Philly, and like I said, the organization was great to me and my family, and I got to work with terrific players and experience some success, not ultimate success, but who wouldn't take another opportunity of playing in the finals, right? So, for me, I'm grateful for my time there and for the people that I met along the way. So listen, you guys stay safe through all of this, and hopefully we're all back, playing hockey soon. Okay.
Amen, brother. Amen. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks. Here he is.
Thank you, Anthony. Take care.
You too, brother. There is the great Peter LaViolette on the Comcast Business Hotline. He's the best. We'll come back and take a call straight ahead. Lots to do before we get out of here at 2 o'clock and send it off to Mikey, Miss, and the crew. It's Cuz Radio with Tunis right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Thanks for hanging in with us. Had some fun with Peter Laviolette, reliving that moment. Let's go to Chris. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Chris.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's
hey,
up,
Anthony.
Buddy? How you doing?
I'm just enjoying the Flyers talk, and yeah, I love him as a coach. He was a great coach.
He was
while he was here.
He was great.
Yes, he was. I'm ready for your five. If you want to head that towards my way.
Yeah, let's do it real quick, okay, buddy? And then
I
want you to hold on, and I want to give you a case of beer. All right?
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah,
sounds good.
Baby. All right, first question is, how's the virus affected you?
Just more or less, kind of depressed, I will say that, kind of depressed. Uh-huh. And it's kind of opened my eyes, too, about treating my fellow man a little bit better than I should.
Amen, bro. That's
definitely. Go farther than I've been doing.
I like that.
You know, I'm a nice guy, but I could be better than I think everybody will feel that, too, when we come out of this.
I think you're right about that.
I hope, anyway.
I think that's a beautiful sentiment. Question two, Eagles. Are they a Super Bowl team, just a playoff team, or no shot at the Super Bowl?
Well, I think they're no shot at the Super Bowl. I think they're definitely a playoff team. I'm hoping they can get to the Super Bowl. Just a couple things away from it, I think.
Okay. Give me your favorite movie line.
Is there anything better than, leave the gun, take the cannolis?
Legend.
Oh, man. I don't know if there's anything better. And there's a lot of them, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my favorite.
That's awesome.
That's my favorite all time.
Very good.
And about as the whack-a-moles?
Yes.
Definitely that creep. I called you a little over a couple of weeks ago. I told you the guy that came down from New York on the airplane, down to West Palm, Florida, infected the whole plane. He knew he had the antivirus.
Oh, my God. What a creep.
I called you a couple of weeks ago about that. And then it was on the news that day. Yeah. But he's been flagged for the rest of his life on the plane. But I think they should have locked him up myself.
They should have.
Yeah, he's one. Gabe Kaplan's another one. I mean, we're better. Gabe Kapler is another one. I would have rather had Gabe Kaplan.
Yes.
With Horshack and Barbarino and the rest of them.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
At least he could play some chords.
Hey, hey, who's your third one, real quick?
One more is the parents of these people that the Spring Bakers on Florida.
Letting them
go. I mean, the parents got to be, they got to accept the blame mostly more than the kids, though.
Yes.
I would say.
Hey, I want to also give you Call of the Week. That means a $250 gift certificate to Golden Nugget Jewelers where Philly gets engaged. Chris, hold on, because I want to give you your beer and your gift certificate. And James, Rashid, and Zach, you guys are also all going to win beer. So hold on. And then we'll come back real quick.
Yeah, they all get a nice case of Labatt Blue or Labatt Blue Light, the official import of the Philadelphia Flyers. Always drink responsibly.
How about that? Perfect for with Lavi. Get a little blue. All right, we'll come back in just a moment and talk to the rest of the guys and give away some beer right here at Cuz Radio 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
1 o'clock hour brought to you by the Rothenberg Law Firm. Philly proud and Philly strong and celebrating 50 years serving the people of Philadelphia. Visit injurylawyer.com.
All right, back on a Friday. Hope everybody is doing well. kind of give you some time to have some fun, relive some old games, good conversation, just to kind of pass the time. Don't forget our Brittany Heat line. We'll get back to it on Monday. And those who left messages, we'll play it on Monday. With Peter coming on, we were kind of stretched for time. Brittany Heat, always brought to you by American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. That's right. You see, if your heating system is not evenly or efficiently heating your home, you got to have help. Visit AmericanStandardAir.com to find an experienced heating and air conditioning dealer in your area today. Mikey Mist, don't forget, it's coming up next at 2 o'clock with Tyrone and Natalie. And our handoff brought to you by Philadelphia Hand and Shoulder Center, specialized care for all hand, wrist, arm, elbow, and shoulder injuries and conditions. For more information, you can visit handtoshouldercenter.com. Tune in. We're going to do Eagles on Monday. We're back to football. So we'll put up a poll. You're going to put up a poll after the show today?
Yeah, I'll put it up. I'll get home, and I'll think of four good games. Do you have a game that comes to mind that you want to hear? I mean, I didn't put out the tweet today. We had so much going on with Danny and Lavi. I was live tweeting a lot of the stuff, so my apologies. But we'll put it up right after the show. Is there a specific game you'd want to hear?
Oh, I mean, there's a million of them.
Of course.
I mean, there's just a million. So I want to go back. I'm dying to relive like a buddy game. Like one of these body bag. Actually, you know what the game I want to relive? The House of Pain game. Dude, they go into the Astrodome. And they just turn that place into the House of Pain. Could you imagine that? Here you are. If you want to relive a game that happened before you were born,
that's one.
It's got to be that kind of game, right? Or the body bag, right? If they have titles like House of Pain or Body Bag, we got to relive them, no?
Do we go best name game? So Body Bag, House of Pain, Pickle Juice, and then we need one more.
Well, you always got Miracle of the Meadowlands, one, two, or three.
That's true.
So, you got it. You put up the poll. That poll will be brought to you by Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning, who can keep your wife comfortable in any season. Cans can, with up to $2,800 in rebates and federal tax credits on a new heating and cooling system. Visit MarvinEcans.com today to save big bucks when you install a new qualified system. Any preference you have? I gave you mine.
I like the Miracle at the Meadowlands because that's when I was, that was my heyday. That was high school, right? But I also like listening or watching for my specific reasons because I'm watching the games to get the right highlights. I like watching these old games too. Yeah, get educated
fun.
A little bit.
Yeah, they're fun, aren't they? They really are. And that's what I like to do. Like at least kind of relive them. They're fun. Kind of if you wasn't a part of it, just to kind of give you a little window into what was going on at the time. Without having games to react to, I think it's at least fun to do. Let's go to James in Old City and say hello to James. Excuse me, Rasheed in West Philly. Sheed, you're on 97. Yo. What's up, Sheed?
What's going on, cuz? Long time no talk. Good to hear from you.
How about you? How you been, man?
I've been okay. Taking it easy, kind of just staying away from the people and just respecting the social distancing. I think that's very important.
Good man, she. Good man. We want to make sure we give you your beer at the end of the call, so make sure you hold on.
Okay, thank you. Now, I just want to talk about the Eagles. I felt like so far in free agency, I know a lot of people wanted us to get the wide receiver. I did, too. I got to admit that. But one thing I do like to see is that we're building the defense, and I feel like the defense has the potential to be a very, very strong defense, and I think that we can win with the defense. But the goal is, in this upcoming draft, is to get another running back, the backup, Miles Sanders. And I feel like the wide receiver is the first pick that we should take. And if we need to move up, I feel like that should be our thing. But other thing I worry about us moving up, everybody knows that we want to move up to get a receiver. So I just hope that how we can get it done.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, here's the deal. I think you got to draft two receivers. And I think one of them has to be a complete game breaker. And that's why I love Henry Ruggs, Sheed. I love him. I think he's the guy. I'll ask you this question. Would you, this is a would you question.
Okay.
if you were going to, for your first second round picks and Zach Ertz, if you came away with Ruggs Jr. and Ngakoue to play the end, would you do that?
I would do that. I would definitely do that. The reason why I would do that is because Ertz, he's still a tremendous player. Don't give me, there's no slip in the yes. game, but he's getting up there a little bit, and I feel like Dallas Goedert stretched the field more than he does, but like Zach is the guy that you can depend on to make that third down catch. I understand that, but the fact that Ngakoue is 24 years old and you mean to get a game breaking elite talent
yes.
at that edge position,
receiver. Yes.
I agree with you. I would do that because I think we'd become one of the best defenses in the NFL, and I would be surprised if we wouldn't be in an NFC title game if we was able to pull that off.
I agree, man. I thank you, brother. That's kind of why I came up with it. See, do me a favor, hold tight, and I want you to collect your beer. So, thanks. Great call, Sheen. We appreciate it. I know that, and I feel bad doing this, but I think they're going to give Zach a ton of money, and I think it's a bad move. And I think you got to go, and you kept saying it, some callers said it, 3rd and 7. I want my 3rd and 7 guy to be a receiver, not a tight end.
Yeah, I hear you on that, but I don't know if I could part. I get it. You're so right that they are going to overpay, and it's going to be a situation like Alshon toward the end of this contract where you're going, wow.
You think you learned your lesson, right? Wow, my God, Malcolm Jenkins over 30. I get it.
But if I can get 2 more good years out of him?
Yeah, but I got a tight end who can help me in a fiscal way, right? I got a cap issue because of Jeffrey. Now, I already did the handoff, Janice.
Oh, my bad.
But if you can already, think about it, if you can already have a tight end, I'm not saying he's as good as Ertz, but I think, God, it's pretty good. He's got great hands.
I agree, but
you
I don't
know.
Here's what
you don't have. You don't have guys on the outside. All right, everybody, listen. Have a great weekend. Please be careful. And thanks for listening as always. Be safe, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.